Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 29th. And I'm happy to have back with us this hour Patricia Schultz. She is the author of the mega best-selling book, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, which includes a list of trips and adventures that she took over the many years she spent putting this book together, places and experiences she suggests you may love too. And if you're like me, the places in this book may inspire you to take a similar trip or put together a travel list of your own. The book inspired a new series on the Travel Channel, which debuts tonight, and we'll talk about some of the places you'll see on the series, but we also really want to hear from you. We want to hear you tell us the best travel experience you've ever had, the place that you saw that you most enjoyed, or that affected you somehow that you would like to share with us, or the place that is next on your traveler's life list, the place that you dream to visit, that you want to see, the culture that you want to experience, the adventure that you want to partake in. Please call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send us an email, talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Let me welcome our guest now, Patricia Schultz, author of the best-selling travel book, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. She is also executive producer of the Travel Channel's new series on the same name that starts tonight, 8 o'clock Central Time. Ms. Schultz is also the author of a new book, 1,000 Places to See in the USA and Canada Before You Die, that will be available in early June. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I really enjoyed the DVD that was sent to me to preview, which I assume is the show that's going to be airing tonight. It depicted the next place on my list of travel spots, Alaska.
Yes. We started not alphabetically, but just by chance. It wasn't the actual sequence. The couple that we cast for, who is so lovely, a young, recently married couple from Denver, they didn't start in Alaska, but the series does start this evening at 8 o'clock with Alaska, and then followed by immediately one of my favorite places. Of course, I have 1,000 favorite places, which is Italy. So back to back, we have Alaska and Italy, two very, very different destinations, to give you an idea of what the following 11 episodes will be like between now and the end of June.
Yeah, you. There was a very, very lucky couple to be picked.
Don't you want to be them?
Yes, I did. So they gave up their jobs and took a half a year or more to travel.
Four jam-packed months, and they really squeezed a whole lot of the globe into those months, but which I don't know that I would necessarily suggest, but because of our time constraints and everything, it was how we had to do it. And it seems as if, in fact, they spent years wandering the globe. It was 4 months, and, you know, the average American hardly has more than 2 weeks at a time, if that. So it was an ideal way of seeing, also because they had everything kind of planned for them. It took away, I think, an element of serendipity, but at the same time, they saw more in a week than I think they had ever dreamed of seeing. They were not particularly well-traveled people, but I think that also added to what we were seeing freshly through their eyes, which was, you know, the awe and wonder of things they hadn't even imagined existed.
Yeah, I mean, to take a helicopter ride over a glacier and then walk on a glacier in Alaska had to have been outstanding.
Yeah, it was beautiful. The Inside Passage, they experienced a lot of the wildlife, and they live in the Rockies. I mean, they live in an area of America which has its own awesome beauty. But to be put in Alaska, which I think the average American understands very little of Alaska, and two-thirds of the tourists who go to Alaska experience the Inside Passage, a cruise in the Inside Passage, which is stunning, but it's such a very, very, very little part of Alaska, which is an enormous country. And country, listen to me.
Just about that big, yeah.
And seems that because there's that detachment from the lower 48, you really do feel like you're in another world.
Yeah. Well, that is my next place that I want to visit, Alaska. What is yours? What's on your list of places that you want to see? What travel experience, perhaps, have you already had that was profound to you, or maybe just plain fun, that you would like to suggest to other listeners? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Talking with Patricia Schultz, author of 1,000 Places to See Before You Die and executive producer of a new series that will debut tonight on the Travel Channel with that same title. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 16 minutes past 6 o'clock now on this Thursday, March the 29th. Hoping you'll stay tuned for At Issue with Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6. And after 4 o'clock, all eyes are on Iran as the country faces new UN sanctions and high-profile U.S. naval maneuvers are going on in the Persian Gulf, and the increasing pressure over those captured British sailors. We'll hear more about the latest developments in Iran with Ben Marins and his guest after 4 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking about the 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, the name of a best-selling book by our guest, and a new series on the Travel Channel. It debuts tonight at 8 o'clock. We'll visit Alaska tonight on the series. Italy, you say, Patricia Schultz, for next week?
No, Italy this evening as well, back to back, 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, I didn't know it was back to back. Okay,
yeah.
And where else will the series take us?
Next week is Hawaii. We're kind of zigzagging. Like I said, it wasn't actually the more practical sequence that the couple followed, but we went to Brazil and Peru and South Africa. And South is too early. In South America, France and Italy. Like I said, Italy is my favorite, well, one of my many, many, many favorite countries. Cambodia and Southeast Asia, which is such a an area of the world that has seen so little Western tourism and is so special, I think, for that very reason. Nepal and Bhutan in the Himalayas, it was funny because Melanie, who is the gal in this wonderful young couple that we found out of hundreds and hundreds of couples that were interviewed, she never even, I dare say she barely knew Bhutan existed or that it was its own country. And they told me afterwards that, in fact, Bhutan was perhaps the most famous, favorite of their places that they visited. Mexico, Zihuatanejo, Guadalajara, a few places, India, South Africa, British Columbia, and Canada. So we kind of pick and chose carefully to create a real diversity of places around the globe that would showcase cultures greatly different one from the next, experiences that would never be repeated from one country to the next. And we came up with 13 episodes that I think are really fascinating. And, you know, I say that, and I've been to them, you know, many times in the past. So hopefully the audience will experience that same sense of wonderment, because it's just a glimpse of what the world offers.
Yeah. Well, I think that answers the question of one caller who didn't want to stay on the line, who was concerned that maybe the series was Eurocentric and wanted to know if you had a place that was out of the way, unusual, very non-Western.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds. As far as the television program goes, some of the places I just mentioned, as far as I go and my personal experience, I started traveling, really serious traveling, kind of outside of America traveling, in the 70s and 80s when the whole tendency was, you know, to grab the backpack and do Europe. And I think trends have changed, and you see a lot of the young people now heading straight to Asia.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, the Europe of yesterday. And you go to, you know, Vietnam, you go to Myanmar, you go to the far reaches of Thailand, and you see a whole 20-something enormous number of young people that are traveling the way that in the same numbers and with the same curiosity for that area of the country that I saw in the 70s and 80s in Europe. So, no, the book is really a little bit about everything, and I tried to make it balanced because I wanted it to reflect not only my own interests, but also the interests, hopefully, of the reader. And the reader has turned out to be a demographic that has amazed us because it is everything from the, you know, college graduate taking a year off to the baby boomers who are retiring early to the, you know, more conventional retirees of 60s, early 70s, doing the RV in our own backyard or doing a, you know, cruise around the world, whatever their time or their inclinations or their budgets permit.
Here we go to the phones. Becky in Whitewater with us first. Hi, Becky.
Good morning. How are you both?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I have so many. I have been to Italy. I loved Lucca. But I have to say the one place in the world, discounting America, that I really loved was an island off of mainland China called Ningbo. And there was a Buddhist monastery, and it was just ethereal. It was set in a bamboo forest. It had just rained. And walking up there and hearing the bells chime and the monks, it was just exquisite.
Mm. I have goosebumps. It sounds like such a perfect moment.
Oh, it was lovely. You know, it's one of those times in your life that defines your life.
And you know, these are the places. These are the places you don't find in guidebooks or even on the map sometimes.
Oh, no.
that are the one experience that, you know, sometimes 20, 30 years later, you can just pull it out of your head and relive it like it was this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very, and I think that's what's so very special about travel. It's not the planned, and it's not the expected, and it's not the usual. In fact, it's things that you just didn't anticipate at all that kind of fall in your lap that are the isolated moments, the memory, they're life memories that stay with you forever.
I see them as gifts. They're just perfect gifts.
Yeah.
So. Thank you very much, Becky.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks a lot for sharing that. China is on my list, too. That probably will be a few years from now, though. Thanks a lot. Victor in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guests.
Good morning.
Hi, I admit I'm in love and I travel exclusively to Jamaica about once or twice a year, but my favorite spot down there is Negril Beach. One of my favorite pastimes is getting up before the crack of dawn and just walking up the 7 miles of stretch of beach along there. It's unbroken beach. And, you know, a couple of times I got caught in a rain shower and I was able to get a picture of a rainbow. So I would definitely pick Negril Beach.
Yeah, no, Victor, I don't know if you've been listening. I just returned from my first trip to Jamaica this week.
Oh, I heard you.
Yeah, I
wish I could have given you some more interesting information because I was there Christmas of last year.
Yeah, I didn't go to Negril. Maybe I'll have to visit Negril. I did hear about that beautiful beach. We just had bad luck with weather because it rained every day we were there, which is unusual.
What a shame.
Yeah, but why do you like to go back, Victor, to Jamaica?
It's more, I like the history and culture of the island, the music and everything. You know, I like to mingle with the people. It's not so much the beach and the sun. I just, you know, love the culture and the history of Jamaica because I'm a people person. And I don't just stay holed up in my hotel room. And I go out and mingle with the people, the good and the bad, you know. Mm-hmm. I get approached a lot, you know, people want to, you know, sell me drugs, ganja and all that. I just politely tell them no and just, you know, mingle with them. So
yeah,
it's just the people down in the culture that I love. That's what attracts me to it.
The Jamaican people must be some of the nicest people in all of the Caribbean. And what a love of life. And it is manifested, like you were saying, in their music. Great. I mean, from morning till night, there's always music, and you hear it everywhere, and the people live the music. And you're right. It's between the mountains in the interior or in these gorgeous beaches. I visited Negril in 1973 when I was just a young gal. And I went back numerous times after that because it does have the most beautiful beaches. But Jamaica's a big island, unlike many of its neighboring islands. And you can go back a million times because there's so very much to see from east to west and north to south. And good food.
Oh, great food. That I really enjoyed. And weather notwithstanding, it was a nice trip. But the Negril, I think, is an area I'd like to visit. I've met so many people down there, though, from the Midwest, who were on their fourth or sixth or even tenth trip. And it certainly is something I would consider, but I always want to see someplace new the next time.
Oh, me too. I'm like that. I'm always aware that there's just so much. And the more you travel, the more you realize that you've seen so little.
Yeah. Victor, thanks very much. And I'm going to try Negril next time. Marge in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
My experience was going to the Azores Islands 6 years ago. My son had been stationed there. And that's the particular island I was on. I didn't get a chance to see the other islands. I understand there's several. I'm thinking seven, but I'm not sure.
That sounds right, yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I was on that island. It was the very first time out of the country for me. I had never been to Europe before, and it was just awesome. I mean, you had the new and the old together. You had the little carts being pulled by horses. And you had a car speeding by, you know, and there were cobblestone streets, and the people were so friendly, so kind. I remember, and I hope I'm remembering this right, I was walking down the street, and the farmer was moving his cows from one field to another down the middle of the street. And I thought, well, I'll take a chance. He probably doesn't know English, but I'll take a chance. And I said, good morning. And instantly, he was a little old man. He was so sweet. He took his hat off, covered his heart, and bowed. That was so sweet. I'll never forget that. And I said, excuse me, but in my country, cow. Your country? And he says, Wokosh. And then he understood what I was saying, and or at least I think he did. But anyway, yeah, it was just sweet. The people were so, so kind. I didn't get a chance to eat out much, but I was able, when I went to church, I think I've only been out of the country one time, but I think really meeting the people is going to church is I got invited home to their home for dinner, which was so neat because they served me what they always eat, and I can't remember. It was a fish casserole, and it was very, very good, and I got the recipe from the lady. It was just awesome. So it was so cool. And the kids there, they have to learn English, so I could talk to the parents through the kids.
Yeah, that's often the case.
Yeah, and it was just a really rich experience for me. I hope it's not my last time going out of the country, but it was just beautiful. The islands are really, really beautiful.
Well, I'm impressed that you remember how to say cow in their local dialect all this time later.
Marge, thank you very much for the call. And what about you? Where is a place that you did visit that profoundly or affected you in some way that you really enjoyed that you want to share with the rest of us? Or what's a place that's on the list, a place that you want to see, an adventure that you want to experience? We're talking with the author of the bestseller, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, A Traveler's Life List, Patricia Schultz. Patricia Schultz is also the executive producer of the Travel Channel's new series of the same name. It starts tonight at 8 o'clock. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number. We're looking for the place on your list. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Thursday, March the 29th. We're talking this hour with Patricia Schultz, who is the author of the best-selling travel book, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. She's also now the executive producer of a new series on the Travel Channel of the same name, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. It debuts tonight, starts tonight. We'll visit tonight Alaska and Italy. The subsequent series will take us to different locations, including Peru, South Africa, Nepal, India, Australia. There's also a web component, the website 1000-places.com. There will be interactive experiences, including the ability to create a travel list to share with fellow travelers, a quiz to determine destinations that fit your interests. We also are looking for your travel experiences or those sites on your travel wish list this hour, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I wanted to share some callers, and one of our producers, Cheryl Gasser, wants to visit the Sistine Chapel. Patricia Schultz, do we visit the Sistine Chapel in Italy tonight?
Alas, no. We concentrated on the northern area of Italy. We arrived into the Lake District, which the principal of the five lakes is Lake Como, and it's probably the most known because of the recent arrival of George Clooney.
Oh, sure.
Who did not host us, I'm sorry to say, but it's probably the most spectacular, too, because it's almost alpine, being at the foot of the Alps up in northern Italy at the Swiss border, and it's a magnificent, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful corner of Italy, and we experienced that whole area and then went directly east to Venice. And Venice is one of those timeless great cities that's unlike any other city on the planet. And it was the first time for this couple visiting that area of Italy, so it was really special.
Oh, yeah. Venice is my father's where he was born.
And, oh, really?
And I visited it for the first time last summer. And
oh,
it was,
nice.
I did see in the DVD snippets of their gondola ride and the pigeons landing on them at St. Mark's Square.
On their head.
Yeah. Which was something I experienced, too, that I'll never forget.
They went in November, which actually is a very off month and one of the best months, as is February, March, because really once the spring and as you saw in the summer come, so do the tourists in huge numbers. They outnumber the pigeons in St. Mark's Square, I'm afraid. And, you know, it's hot. There's a lot of jostling lines to get into the Basilica of St. Mark's, into the museums. But it's one of those places any moment, any time, any month of the year when you go, really all you need to do is walk down a back alley and take a left, and you're in a city that is something that's just not of this planet. Yeah. It's a remarkable how lucky your father is.
Yeah. Katie in Burlington is with us next. Hi, Katie.
Hi. My son and I are going to be going to Italy and Greece, hopefully, in November for 10 days. And I've been to Italy, so I kind of know a lot of that. I've never been to the Amalfi Coast. Am I saying that right?
Oh, yes.
But I'm not sure if I can go all the way down there and then go across a ferry to Greece and see Greece and then come back in 10 days. So do you think that's possible? And then where do we take a ferry in Italy over to Greece?
From the city of Bari, or Bari, B-A-R-I, and they're quite frequent, and it's a real experience, and it's an easy way to get there. It is all very time-consuming, but a good deal of any trip is the journey itself, just getting from A to B to C to D, and that's often where your great experiences and adventures happen. But it's true, there's just so much to see. see in Italy and so much to see in Greece. And when you're in Greece, getting from Athens or Piraeus, the main port, to the different islands, if in fact you want to see some of the islands, is also time-consuming. So you don't want to spend the entire time just moving. Because although you see a lot of the country that way, you also miss the beauty of just sitting, you know, putting yourself in one town or village or city for a night or two or three to kind of soak it all up. But, you know, a lot of time is precious, and people try to, you know, jam as much into the very few days that we have. And really, however you enjoy travel is how I encourage you to go forth, because I'm like that too. I'll, you know, try to do 6 months worth of travel in 2 weeks mm-hmm. and come back exhilarated and feeling like I've seen a lot of everything. And other people rather just, you know, in that same period of time, see one quarter of what I've seen, but enjoy it maybe twice as much. So I think you need to be true to how you travel, and does it exhaust you or does it exhilarate you? Because that could be the key. But between you and me and the doorknob, the Amalfi area is not to be missed.
I should go there.
It's so beautiful.
And then what about taking planes from, I know sometimes it's kind of inexpensive, like if I took a plane from Rome to Athens.
It's, you know, nowadays in the last 5, 6, 7 years to fly within Europe has just dropped as everything else in the world increases in price. They've deregulated and they do a lot of these kind of JetBlue type inexpensive airlines, which are perfectly reputable, established, safe, and reliable, and it costs nothing. And if you, you know, get on the internet and Google around and see who's servicing Rome to Athens, which is a very, very, very common route, you may be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, good luck, Katie, and enjoy your trip. Yeah, I heard that some people live in Spain and they will commute to work, fly to London, because it's cheaper to do that.
It's
than,
crazy. You know. I know, yeah. Although they oftentimes advertise the route, the fares as being astonishingly low, and then you find out there's $150 of surpluses and taxes. But regardless, you're paying maybe $200 for a leg of travel within Europe mm-hmm. that 10 years ago would cost four times that.
Yeah. We'll go next to Bill in Lac de Flambeau. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, my daughter and I, who was 8 at the time, traveled to Mexico in 1991 to see a total eclipse of the sun.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, it's not a particular destination, but it's something that certainly should be on the list of things to do in your life.
Did you traveled there because you knew you could experience this eclipse?
Right. Yeah, we had planned for years to go and made it a trek with a final destination of La Paz in
Bali. Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. I mean, a 6-minute total eclipse, middle of the day, the sky went dark. We laid on our backs and held hands, and I'm certain that she will take that experience with her for the rest of her life.
Oh, how wonderful. You're a good dad.
Oh, it was a great trip. You can really get a lot done in Mexico if you have a blonde 8-year-old in tow.
I'll remember that.
All right.
Thank you very much, Bill. Wow, that's quite the experience. Ralph and Rubicon, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Joy,
morning.
And to your guest.
Good
I have
morning.
Read that book, The 1,000 Best Places to
1,000 Places to See Before You Die, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's a wonderful book. And
you.
I wanted to share with you my favorite place in the world. And for the last 10 years, my goal has been to get to the last wild places on the planet that I can get to. Mm-hmm. And I'm up to 82 countries that I have visited around
wow.
the world. So I go on several trips a year, but my favorite place in the world is Namibia, which is on the southeast coast of Africa, between South Africa and Angola. And I feel it is one of the gems of Africa that has been totally undiscovered. My wife and I flew into Johannesburg, and then you fly up to Windhoek, which is the capital, and we picked up a car and drove 100 miles north up to Etosha National Park. Which is a huge park. And you drive into one of the gates, and the first rule is that you have to be inside one of three compounds by dark, because the animals are running totally free in the park, and you have to get inside the cage in the zoo. And the compound is surrounded by these high barbed wire electrified fences, and it's maybe 100 or 150 people with a little grocery store. And then outside the fence, they have water holes, because Namibia is about 98% the Namib Desert, with the highest, tallest sand dunes in the world, over 2,000 feet tall, golden sand. And you sit on bleachers as you would on a high school basketball court. And behind the bleachers, they have these huge spotlights which show up the water hole all night. And you sit there all night in the Namib Desert under these wonderful stars and watch all the animals come in to get their water.
Wow.
And at one time, you could look maybe 180 degrees from left to right, and you would see maybe 5,000 animals, everything from birds to all the deer-like animals, and then would come in rhinos and giraffes and elephants, and they would kind of come in a pecking order. The gentle animals would come in first, and it was sort of like a no man's land where nobody attacked anybody else because you had to have all this water.
Yeah.
And you'd sit there all night and watch the most wonderful game viewing that I think there is in the entire world.
Ralph, it sounds great, and you sell it well, too. You could write your own book. We need to check our weather forecast, and we'll be right back. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 11 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 29th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk with two guests with differing views on whether or not the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is an activist court. We'll find out more about that coming up after 7. We are talking about the 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. That's the name of a new series premiering tonight on the Travel Channel at 8 o'clock. It will continue every Thursday at the same time through June. The show chronicles the journey of a young couple who travel the world using our guest's book, Patricia Schultz's book, 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. Patricia Schultz, also the executive producer of this series. Each hour-long episode will take us to different locations all over the world, including Alaska and Italy tonight, and then we'll see Hawaii and many other countries, Peru, South Africa, India, Australia. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call to share your travel experience that you would like to suggest to other Wisconsin Public Radio listeners, or the place that you is on your list, the place that you want to see before you die. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Certainly any questions or comments you have for our guest, welcome. Well, we were just talking to Ralph and Rubicon about this wonderful trip to Namibia. Sounds like he could write his own book, doesn't it, Patricia Schultz?
I know, and you know, it's so exciting when you hear how a particular trip has really jazzed somebody up. I mean, it sounds like he got home last night from mm-hmm. Africa. Maybe it was years ago, but, you know, it excites people, and it, you know, it removes you from the same old, you know, and as wonderful as your life may be and as idyllic as your little bubble may be with the kids and everybody's getting straight A's and the mortgage is getting paid and job is going well, You just don't realize until you remove yourself, or maybe you do, until you remove yourself from it, that that's not all there is. You know, your hometown, your village, your state, the Midwest, America, that's not all there is. And it's so exciting when you plant yourself on the other side of the world, or maybe not so far away, you know, just down the road, to create that perspective and to open your eyes and to open your heart and your head and to just come back refreshed and recharged with a different perspective, with a different idea about things, and you're never the same, and only in a good way, only in a positive way.
We will visit in the series on the Travel Channel South Africa, right?
Yes, yeah. And Namibia, that he was speaking of so glowingly, was once part of South Africa until, I think, the 90s when it became independent. It is very, very, very remote and pristine and breathtakingly beautiful.
Our next caller is Anne in Madison. Hi, Anne.
Hi, I had a couple. One was I visited my cousin in Hawaii. I'd never seen it about 10 years ago. And I'd always wanted to see Molokai, which is where Father Damien lived with lepers. And his work there basically died of leprosy, but it was responsible, I think, for eventually the discovery of cell phone drugs, which arrested leprosy. And I took you have to take an inter-island little plane from Honolulu to Molokai. There's no other way of getting there except, I think that's it. And I took a mule ride down the steepest seaside cliff in the world in the rain. And I was one of about six people. My cousin refused to go. And it was just there were still people who had leprosy, but they were, they didn't have it anymore. It was the most beautiful trip into a century ago, and everything on the island, development was almost non-existent. I think it still is.
It's very much like that, yeah.
It's
still.
And we learned about, so much about Father Damien and his work. I've always wanted to. I thought that was fascinating. And the second one was the Lofoten Islands off and Vesterålen off the west coast of Norway in the Arctic Circle. And I did that about 15 years ago. And again, that was just, there was you took a ferry from the west coast of Norway to the Lofoten Islands. And it was also like going back in time about a century. And it was when I got at night, I missed my last ferry, and I was on the Vesterålen, which are north of the Lofoten Islands. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And the guy who drove the ferry, it was just a little ferry, said he knew somebody in town. And so I stayed in a pension there overnight. And then I started the long trip back. But the west coast of Norway and the islands off the coast are absolutely beautiful. And you can take, train, if trains or ferries or, all sorts of ways. But once you get to the Arctic Circle, Norway is just absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Mm. Any further reaction, Patricia?
I'm thinking she's a real island girl because the Lofoten Islands are not very known at all, except in Scandinavia. And certainly the Norwegians love it because it's almost like they're kind of Cape Cod or their Door County. It's their summertime getaway, and they are kind of locked in time, which groups of islands, because of their insular history, so commonly are. And it's a little bit of Norway. It's almost its own country, and it is afloat in another century. You have daylight almost around the clock in July and August, and fish for breakfast, 11,000 different ways of preparing herring. I remember the food was great, and the people are lovely, kind of salty and crusty and fisherman-type background and history, and an artist colony because the light is so special. So these are the niches of the world that I'm always interested in hearing about because not everyone is lucky enough to stumble upon them or to discover them.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Anne. You mentioned Door County. Is that in the 1,000 places or maybe the new 1,000 places that you're looking?
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm just off this USA book as of last week, in fact, and I did this whirlwind trip the last couple of years to discover, the places I had been hearing about or didn't even know about in the USA. But I've been traveling the USA my whole lifetime as well, as so many of us have, being thrown in the back seat of the car and following mom and dad wherever they chose to bring us. So the USA book, I'm hoping appeals to all of those people, 80% of Americans who don't have passports, who are more than happy to just explore these wonders that are in our backyard.
Yeah, 1,000 places to see in the USA and Canada before you die, available in June.
Yes.
Graham in Mequon is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to say, when I was a little bit younger, I went to visit a friend in Austria, and he grew up in Hungary, actually. So we went to Western Hungary in the old city of Sopron. And I don't remember that as well. I mean, it was, like, historical. But I remember going about an hour east of that, and it was in, like, a little more, like, wildlife kind of area. And we went fishing at night on the river. And all I remember is there's probably 50 people with light-up poles and, like, bobbers and stuff.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I remember the most about it. People were really into that stuff out there, so.
Well, Graham, thank you very much. Let me get one more quick one in before we're done. Terry in Watertown. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joey. I really enjoy your program each morning. I do listen to it going to and from work. But
well, thanks.
I know you're short of time or getting there, so I'll make this real short. My wife and I took a trip with our son and his prospective bride to Africa in 2002, where they were married in Kampala, which is in Uganda on the east side of Africa.
Wow.
And as part of our stay when we were there, we decided to take a trip, what they call a river raft trip, down the headwaters of the Nile. We took the boats or got hold of the rafts basically in a town called Jinja. And we basically, for lack of better words, kind of floated down the river. But there are rapids on the river that are rated anywhere from a class 3 to a class 5.
And you know what, Terry, we're going to have to imagine how exciting that was because we're out of time. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And Patricia Schultz, I hope you'll come back when your new book is out and we can talk about this again. Thanks a lot. Patricia Schultz, the author of 1,000 Places to See Before You Die, executive producer of a new series on the Travel Channel beginning tonight by the same name. Author of 1,000 Places to See in the USA and Canada Before You Die, that will be available in early June. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and Leo Duran for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.